Radio KREL College Radio, welcome back to your local music hookup. This is Off the Record. We just enjoyed a performance by Freak and are now joined in studio by Gabriel Roderick. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So we're going to start things off with our Minnesota-themed segment. This is Don't You Know. So where are you from and what is it known for?
I'm from South Minneapolis, more specifically the Central Powderhorn neighborhood area. It's known for Powderhorn Park, May Day, lots of taco places.
That is a good thing to be known for.
Lots of urban gardens, yeah.
And then what is the first concert you saw in Minnesota?
Oh, man. It was probably either, it was like Dr. Dog or Matt and Kim.
And then if you could perform anywhere in Minnesota, it does not have to be a venue, where would it be?
I mean, a venue, it'd be great to play First Ave, but I'd also love to play Harmony Park. There's a outdoor venue, like southwestern Minnesota, I think. Yeah, it always seems really cool to play there.
And then Bob Dylan or Prince?
Oh, man. Don't do this. I'm not going to decide. Both.
Both. Very different genres, so.
Right.
And then for this trivia question, this is actually going to come from the Minnesota State Fair website because we are wrapping up the Minnesota State Fair. How many food stands are located throughout the Minnesota State Fair? Is it A, 300, B, 500, or C, 1,000?
There's no way it's 1,000. 500.
You're close. It's 300.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's one of the few situations where it's the smallest number.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing there a little bit, and it's just so massive. There's so much there. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and then switching over from the state fair, with your music and with this album, Decompose, you incorporate a lot of blues sounds. What was the first blues album you either heard or bought?
It was actually Continuum by John Mayer. It was the first album I ever listened to or, like, bought. And that kind of got me rolling down a deeper blues hole and ended up listening to like Tom Waits and Howlin' Wolf and Big Mama Thornton and stuff like that.
Well, and then with this album, you've also put an emphasis on using your mom's piano in it. I was wondering what the reason for that was.
Yeah, it's the piano that we used to record on the album is the piano I grew up playing, and it's still sitting in our dining room, which is in my house, which is the house I grew up in. My mom just rents it out to me and my roommates. So we recorded on that piano. You all out there can't see me, but I have a C5 spinal cord injury, and so I don't have the use of my hands. But before my injury, I played piano for about 11 years, and post-injury, just over the last year, have started playing piano again with a pencil. So I'd pluck out one note at a time, and that's how I wrote these songs, recorded them, and recorded on the piano that I used to play on. So it kind of has this kind of rebirthing theme to it, I guess.
Well, I was going to ask what kind of emotions came up when you were playing on this piano that I'm sure you also played before you had your injury.
Well, right after my injury, I actually tried using this method of, you know, a pencil, and I threw it out because I was like, this is dumb. I can't do what I used to do. I can't use all 10 fingers. I can only do one note at a time. But now 10 or 11 years later, I'm finding that there's a lot of creative space in simplicity and just, you know, breaking up these chords, arpeggiating them, and telling very intricate stories over top of them with my voice. And it's been challenging to kind of revisit the piano again, but at the same time, very energizing and kind of life-infusing, which kind of is the idea behind Decompose. Like, we have to, essentially, we have to die to, you know, find new life. And that's kind of, you know, what happened with me in piano is I'm kind of mourning the death of my piano playing, but I let it die, and now I've kind of found new life in it, so.
Right. Well, and then your music also, with the simplicity you said, I feel like you have this really great, raw, almost naked kind of sound quality to it, along with it being acoustic, but with kind of your raspy voice. Was that sound with Freak a conscious choice you made, or did it just kind of happen?
It was, I think it was pretty conscious. I used to be in a band called Treading North, and we were a big seven-piece, like, we called it Dream Funk. It was a big band, so my voice kind of, I don't have, like, the most powerful voice, and I kind of have a low tone, so it kind of got lost in a big band. So with this record, I did want to really shine a light on my voice and let my stories, you know, be naked, and let my voice be naked, and it's been really cool. I really like it. This isn't necessarily the sound that I'm gonna carry on throughout my career, but I definitely want it to be the kind of foundation of this project.
Well, and then talking about your sound, how are you hoping it evolves into the future?
Well, right now I'm working on some new stuff. I just was a recipient of the Cedar Commission's grant. So I will be performing at the Cedar Cultural Center in February also. And I'm doing some new music that is like spoken word over top of kind of like groovy jazz swamp groove stuff. So I want to kind of carry this, like, this kind of dirty, dark, atmosphere that I have on this album, and kind of dig more into, like, jazz and kind of more avant-garde stuff. And so that's kind of where I'm hoping to take it.
Well, and then with how dark you've kind of described this album, I feel, as the listener, like, there's a lot of anger in some of those lyrics. I was wondering how anger has been a tool for you in creating your music.
I think anger is viewed as a very destructive emotion. But with some of the stuff I'm writing about and some of the music that I'll be releasing and performing over the next year or so, there's a lot about anger and how it's actually just an emotion. It's not destructive or constructive. So you can choose how to use your anger. And I think when you choose to use your anger constructively, and when you pair it with something like hope, it actually becomes a tool for change, whether, you know, any kind of change, political, emotional, familial, whatever. We get angry because something that we love is threatened. And so it's kind of this emotion that's based in love, but it can be very destructive if used the wrong way.
No, I agree with that completely. We are unfortunately almost out of time, but before we say goodbye, was there anything you wish we had talked about?
I actually have a show coming up in October called A Cripple's Dance. It's another project of mine that is a live music and dance performance performed by people with spinal cord injuries and people with able bodies. and we'll be at the Southern Theater October 17th through the 20th, and we have 5 shows there, and it's going to be a good night, good nights, lots of music and dance.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Gabriel, for coming in and talking to me. You can all check out Freak tonight or tomorrow at the Cedar Cultural Center, as well as their album Decompose online. For now, though, we're going to get back to the music right here at Radio K, Real College Radio.